You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Hour 2, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. If you're watching, you're listening, you're doing both. You're watching on YouTube.com/TheDanPatrickShow. Also listening to our great radio affiliates around the country, number 362. Chat row, good morning, and we'll get to emails, we'll get to phone calls, and also tweets coming up as well, 877-3DP-SHOW. The news this morning that broke, Connecticut's football program will not be playing this year, and it felt like they're sort of a team without a conference, therefore they're really vulnerable to what the other conferences were going to do. Were they going to play out-of-conference games? And if you have a couple of games against the ACC is going to be conference only. And Connecticut decided to shut down their football program. Also, travel restrictions, being quarantined when you go into Connecticut. I think you're going to hear something out of the Big Ten involving Rutgers, maybe some of these other programs. I think it's a really tenuous situation right now. This is where we've said, well, football's got time. Football does not have time anymore. The NFL has a little bit of time. And it feels like what they're doing, because it's a professional level, and you're saying to your players, without going on a campus where there's other students there, you must be diligent. You must police one another. And the NFL is probably going to start on time. College football may start. I just don't see how it finishes. And I'm basing this off two sources. One I spoke to yesterday, and he's the one that said, you know, Rutgers' situation's a mess right now. Because of travel restrictions, and then you have the number of positive tests, and you're just getting ready to start, you know, really buckling down and getting ready for the opening game of the season. The SEC might play football. I thought this all along. You know, everybody was all in it together, and then it was the Power Five conferences were in it together, and now it feels like it's every conference for themselves. And I think that the SEC, and I felt this all along, the SEC is going to be, hey, we're going to play football. Whether anybody else does, we're playing football. The Big Ten released its schedule, and you're basically looking at conference games. That's it. And they're trying to move the schedule up a little bit by a week or so, still trying to play a Big Ten title game. McLevin, did we find out from the NCAA, are they still planning on having a Final Four and a national title game this year?
Well, I think they're making an announcement today, but as of now, yes. There's no plans to cancel. I think it's in Miami this year.
Okay. All right. Poll question. What do we have?
It's a real close one, Dan. It's a nail biter. If you could sign one of these two players to a 7-year extension, Zion Williamson or Luka Doncic, who would it be? 89% are going Luka right now, but it's early in the show.
Well, there's the injury factor here. And Luka is more of a finished product than Zion is. And I don't know if Zion can get to the point where he is a good ball handler. He can beat you off the dribble. He can have a respectable outside shot. We know that he's a powerful, he's like a velvet hammer. Like, there is grace to him, but he is going to overpower you. But Luka is the right answer. Luka put up 34, 20, and 12. And I didn't even know that he was putting up 34, 20, and 12. It was that effortless. And they picked up the win. They needed overtime to beat Sacramento. There was a lot of interesting basketball yesterday. I didn't get to watch it. There was a power outage on the East Coast. In fact, most of us are still without power at home. But Carmelo Anthony came through in the clutch. Devin Booker with the Suns came through in the clutch. You know, I'm starting to wonder, you know, where you see these teams. And is Portland going to get in? If Portland gets in, Portland will be a tough out. You know, they would be facing the Lakers. Lakers have Oklahoma City tonight. At what point do you rest your players, or does it make more sense to get them a little bit more in shape, game ready? And that's what I would wonder with LeBron and Anthony Davis. And that's going to be the decision for Frank Vogel. How much do you play them against Oklahoma City? You've clinched the number one seed in the West. And also understand this, that the Lakers will have the least amount of time to prepare for their opening round opponent, because they're probably not going to know until the last game of the regular season. Now, you might go, well, they're going to be better than anybody they face. If they face Portland, and you can say, well, we know how to match up against them. Portland's going to come in. The last thing you want to do is, you've already clinched and you're waiting for somebody. because that team that's had to struggle every single night just to get in is more playoff ready than you are. Now, that probably won't factor in over a 7-game series or a 5-game series, 3-game series, but it will factor in certainly that opening game where they're ready and you have to get ramp. You have to ramp back up. Yeah, Paulie.
I hesitate to even touch on this topic, but can you imagine the coverage and the fallout if the Lakers lost in the first
round? No, we can't even get there.
I was just thinking about that as what we do for a living. I can't imagine the L.A. and more so actually the national reaction than the L.A. reaction.
Well, and if the Clippers would happen to go on and win, too.
You know, I mean, you just doubled down.
Yes, yeah. But the Clippers lost last night to the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker hit the game winner. Phoenix Suns undefeated in the bubble. They're a fun team to watch, but I don't know what, you know, they need some things there, but they have some things in place. Like watching Dallas beating Sacramento, Luka was great, Porzingis is really good. I mean, they're starting what could turn out to be an unbelievable tandem. We look back in history that used to be you could have a big three. You had three players. And then now it's two because can you afford to have three big personalities, big paychecks on there? And you have, you know, a big, you know, great tandem here. The possibility with Porzingis and Luka could be one of those that we look back on. Luka has 16 triple doubles this season, most in the NBA. LeBron and Nikola Jokic are tied for second with 13. Nobody else has 10 triple doubles so far this season. Yes, McLovin.
Oh, that's you mentioned Jokic, another guy with big empty stats.
Wow!
Oh.
Wow! Wow!
Who is
good in your world?
Is that a European thing to have huge regular seasons and bow out in the first two rounds?
Wow! Yeah, I looked, Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker did pretty well when they got to the postseason.
Yeah, but for every one of those, there's a Joker and
okay. Who are your top players then? Who fits your criteria? Because you said to me this
LeBron
morning...
LeBron James.
Okay, aside from LeBron. If I remove LeBron, because you said, well, Luka's a ball hog, just like James Harden.
I didn't call him a ball hog.
Oh, my God. Do I have any witness from the congregation here?
No, I said he like Harden. He just gets to the line like 25 times a game. He's shooting like 18 free throws a game.
You've called him a ball hog before. Okay.
So there's, in my opinion, there's three elite players and everyone. There's a cliff off after that. Four.
A drop off. Okay.
Five. I think Durant is there.
I've never heard cliff off before, but I
think it's LeBron, Durant, Curry, Giannis, and Kawhi. Maybe Fred VanVleet. But the guys who shoot like 50% from the field, that's like the key. You got to hit all your shots. Like LeBron is so good.
Okay.
Not guys like Harden and Westbrook who score a ton, but shoot a lot.
Okay, so you got LeBron, Kawhi, who doesn't play, you know, all the games in the regular season, but that's who you want.
Giannis,
okay.
And Durant and Curry when they're
healthy. Durant and Curry when they're healthy. Okay. If you don't want to put Luka in that category?
Also, he's young, obviously. Like, I'm not sure it's fair yet. Yeah, I don't think Luka... Is Luka ready to take that next step already?
But he's in the top 10. Anthony Davis is in there. Luka's in there.
Sorry, I got to add Anthony Davis.
Yeah, Anthony Davis is great. But yeah, I'm not trying to push Luka into a category that he may not belong yet. I'm just saying what he's doing at this age, you can go down through history. You're hard pressed to find somebody who's doing this on a night in, night out basis. Now you might say, boy, he's a ball hog. Okay, what other ball hogs are putting up 34, 20, and 12? And their team is right now the fourth seed in the West. It's pretty. It's respectable. Those are pretty good numbers. No matter who's turning them in, those are pretty good numbers. Yeah, McLeod.
But Russell Westbrook, when he won the MVP for the triple double, did he really deserve the MVP that year?
No.
He just put up a lot of numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a sort of, and so numbers don't always equal success. There's sort of a balance.
But I think Russell Westbrook knew if I average a triple double. The fact that it hadn't been done since, 1962, I got a chance to win the MVP. Now, he's never going to win an MVP again, but that season, and he averaged a triple-double the next season, didn't he? It's like Harden understands, hey, I might win an MVP. Maybe I'm not going to win another one. Is Durant going to win another MVP? Is Steph Curry going to win another MVP? Greek Freak is going to win one this year. He'll be the favorite next year. I think Luka's going to win an MVP. And we were talking about Zion Williamson, and you know, as much as I love watching Zion, he's not a finished product. I don't know what he'll be, and you have to give him the benefit of the doubt of his age, but I just wonder what's his size going to be like and how does he play in accordance to his size? Is he going to remain explosive for the next 10 years? Is he going to steer clear of injury? I mean, Luka's gotten hurt before, but Zion, you got to factor that in. Every night when he goes out there, you know, you kind of watch him play, and there's so much physicality to him that he giveth, but he also taketh too. Yeah, Paul.
There are only five guys in the NBA this year that average more than 20 shots per game: Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Trae Young, and Luka Doncic. And you can make the case that all those teams are going nowhere until those guys share. Then the next tier, if you go down a little bit, Kawhi Leonard averages 19 shots a game, LeBron James 19, so on and so forth.
How good do you think the Clippers would be if Luka was on there instead of Kawhi Leonard? I'm going to guess they'd still be really good. If I put Kawhi on the Mavs, Mavs aren't in the fourth spot because Kawhi doesn't play all the games during the regular season. So as valuable as Kawhi is, if Kawhi didn't win the title last year in Toronto, he's not a top five player in people's minds. But hey, he's got two titles. Okay. I can't argue with what he does when he gets into the postseason. But if he doesn't win last year, he's not a top five player in people's minds. Yeah, McLovin.
If Luka's on the Clippers, aren't the Clippers just the Mavs all over again? Basically,
the Clippers have the deepest roster of any team in the NBA.
Yeah.
They got a great coach, not that Rick Carlisle's not, but you got a great coach, great owner, and a deep roster there. And the Clippers with Luka would be great. They would still be great.
Paul George is, I haven't heard much about him at the bubble.
Paul George is, I think, under a lot of pressure here. You know? Because I got pressure on Anthony Davis and Paul George to step up. LeBron's done it. Kawhi's done it. Now their teammates need to do it on a consistent basis. And Anthony Davis, he has pressure on him. I know this is LeBron's team, but LeBron knows if Anthony Davis is great, they're going to win the title. I don't know if Kawhi goes, if Paul George is great, we're going to win the title. But I'm sure he'd feel a whole lot more confident than he does now. But you expect Paul George, if he's a top 15 player, that he should be great. And I don't think that we include him in that category. Yeah, McLovin.
I got my argument. Luka doesn't play defense. I'm assuming. I have no idea, but
no.
Is that true?
No, he doesn't.
None of these. Zion has never played a lick of defense.
No, Zion doesn't play any defense.
He gets every other week, he gets an unbelievable block shot, and people think he's a great defender.
And my guy, Jaren Jackson Jr. III, done for the season with a knee injury. He has been playing great. He's my guy. Well, I'm stuck with him. I said that he'd be the best player out of that draft that included Luka and Trae Young. That's all right. That's not bad. You know, it's not like I said, hey, Mitchell Trubisky is going to be a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. Is the backup quarterback for the Buccaneers, is that your boy?
Blaine Gabbert, yeah. I think Gabbert's
out
there.
Did you see the video of him? That dude is jacked. I thought it was the tight end Brady was throwing the ball to.
No way. Blaine Gabbert's looking good?
Oh, and by the way, well, physically, yeah. He's looking good.
If he wins a Super Bowl, Blaine Gabbert love
is
confirmed?
Is he on the team winning a Super Bowl?
Hey,
he has
counts.
To play in the Super Bowl. He has to play at least one quarter in the Super Bowl.
How about like as a holder in the kickoffs or the extra points?
The NFL released its official new rules for player conduct this coming season. And they're trying to learn from these other leagues. They want to keep everybody as safe as possible. That means players will be fined or suspended if they don't follow the guidelines. So you can't go into the clubs with over 10 people in them. No concerts, no house parties. You can go to church, but the NFL starting the season on time and trying to complete it. You know, they have to have their schedule flexibility in the first month of the season just in case. But then there's the team-by-team problem. What if one team has multiple positives here? Can you field a team competitively for a Sunday game or a Thursday game? Just like every sport, it's going to be tricky. And we hope for the best. And Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk will join us coming up. By the way, during this pandemic, I was wondering, you know, people have so much time on their hands. And I was wondering, everybody has an idea or they think they have a good idea. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to share that idea. And I partnered with iHeartRadio, the powerful iHeartRadio, the biggest name when it comes to radio and the radio stations around the world. And I said, can we do a podcast contest called The Next Great American Podcast? And they said, yes. And I said, this is what I want. Can we get 10 semifinalists? What you do is you submit your idea for a podcast. You go to nextgreatpodcast.com, nextgreatpodcast.com, and we're going to give 10 semifinalists $1,000 to produce a pilot episode. Then listeners from around the world are going to vote on this for their favorite podcast. And then I'm going to go into business with you. For 1 year, one season, we're going to create a podcast that will be yours. So, and I'll help you with it along the way. NextGreatPodcast.com.
Who's eligible for that, Dan?
Everybody is eligible for it.
Literally everybody?
Everybody is. Everybody. Not you guys.
It's too bad because Seat and I were working up a Mustards of the World podcast where we rank and rate every mustard on earth.
Oh, okay.
It's niche.
Niche.
But there's a calling for it.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's eligible for this.
Mustard's of the
And you don't have just to have sports ideas. It could be anything.
Just ideas.
Yeah. It's called an elevator pitch. If you're going up an elevator and you're going to talk to somebody and you're going to make a pitch before they get to their floor, that's why they call it an elevator pitch. Now, the elevator might only go two stops, so you got to be really quick, or it might go 10 floors. Yeah, see.
That sounds like something out of a movie about Hollywood.
The
elevator pitch.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, you ever remember that movie, Swimming with Sharks?
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Or The Player with Tim Robbins.
That's a good movie.
Good movie.
A
sneaky great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Player. But you got only, well, you might get tired of just watching people go on the elevator and they, like, it feels like a reality show.
Just the dinging alone, the ding, oh, yeah.
Ding, ding. And then somebody gets on and then you have to talk around them as they stand in between you and the person you're trying to do the elevator pitch to.
Hey, I was thinking, I got an idea for you. Oh, boy.
How many times do those people in Hollywood hear this? Imagine if you're an actor, famous actor or director, producer, you're always hearing, hey, I got an idea. Yeah, Paul.
We had the great director, writer Judd Apatow on about 2 months ago, and he says it happens all the time. And remember you said he should make people come up on when he's doing stand-up and say, okay,
yeah,
pitch me right here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he just said that he's never gotten a good pitch.
All right, we're going to take a break. Mike Florio is going to join us via Zoom. Zoom, he's going to join us. That's Zoom. And we'll settle on a poll question. I don't know if we're going to keep that one, McLovin. Are we going to change it up?
Maybe we'll go to college football for hour two. Would you, if you're a first rounder, would you play this year?
Okay. And I will get to your phone calls. And I think that's it. We'll take a break. Back after this, 20 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. DraftKings, here they are, ready to go. Now that we have sports, have some fun with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, offering you a shot at a share of millions of dollars every day this week. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is easy to play. You pick eight players, stay under the salary cap, pile up the points, you get three-pointers, rebounds, assists, like Luka would have been really valuable yesterday. With millions of dollars up for grabs this week, no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now. Make sure you use the promo code SQUAD to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. That's every day this week. Promo code is SQUAD to get a shot at millions of dollars. So excited that week two of the basketball restart is here and take advantage of it. Get a chance at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Once again, your promo code is SQUAD at DraftKings.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Some of the recent NBA greats won the MVP only once. Shaq and Kobe won one each. Likewise for Allen Iverson and Kevin Durant. I also heard this yesterday with Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo, the Niners quarterback, was asked about the Tom Brady rumors that the 49ers were interested in Jimmy Garoppolo. And here is Jimmy G.
When all that was going on, you know, you hear about it and things like that, but I really wasn't too worried. I'm always confident in my play. And, you know, I know what I put out there this season and everything like that. So it's all about being confident, and, you know, it's just part of the business. You know, I've seen both sides of it, so I've been there.
Let's bring in Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk co-host. If you're Jimmy G, would you be worried that, okay, they did a drive-by with Brady, but what's going to stop them from doing that again with maybe another quarterback at some point here?
Yeah, Dan, I mean, the good news is he won the face-off with Tom Brady. Brady was interested in the 49ers. The 49ers evaluated Brady. They decided to stick with Jimmy G, but it's the shot across the bow. They're at the stage in the Garoppolo contract where they can walk away with minimal salary cap pain, minimal guaranteed money, and go on to someone else. And even though he played well in the Super Bowl, now there was a championship throw opportunity late in the game to Emmanuel Sanders, and he flat out missed him, but in the NFC Championship game, he was Bob Greasy. He had everything but the big giant glasses Greasy used to wear. He threw like six passes against the Packers. They don't need him to make that offense work. And if he doesn't step up to a higher level, they can look at how much they're paying him and they can say, you know what, we can find somebody cheaper who can learn this offense, run this offense, and they'll be every bit as effective as they are because they have a great defense and they have a phenomenal running game.
I'm trying to understand what's going on in Green Bay. And I'm sure I'm not alone here, but it seems like there's mixed messages that they went up to draft Jordan Love, but then you have a coaching staff that's trying to placate Aaron Rodgers and saying, hey, it's still your team here. I feel it's more of Aaron Jones's team than it is Aaron Rodgers.
and that's the thing. No matter what any of us say about what's going on in Green Bay, they invited this distraction by trading up in round one to draft Jordan Love. This is a far cry from 2005 when Brett Favre had been talking about retirement for several years and the best quarterback on the board slid all the way down into the 20s and the Packers decided, hey, we may as well take Aaron Rodgers. We don't know when Brett's going to leave. This is not a reach, but this is an affirmative move to go out and get the replacement for Aaron Rodgers. He should be upset. We've seen little flashes of it. We've heard things via Brett Favre that Aaron Rodgers had said to him, suggesting he wasn't happy about this. How can you be happy? You're 13-3. You almost make it to the Super Bowl. You're a few pieces away, and they go and draft your eventual replacement and then try to make it look like it's no big deal. Of course it's a big deal, and of course it's going to hover over the Packers until Jordan Love is gone or Aaron Rodgers is gone.
Matthew Stafford had the false positive. His wife was very upset that the information got out there, but what would happen during the regular season if Matthew Stafford had a false positive here? Like I mean, we have to, like a Friday, and you're going to play a game on Sunday or whenever they're going to test them during the week, because we're going to have these situations coming up, I think, Mike.
Oh, you have to be ready for it, Dan. And that's the thing. You know, football fans worry about all sorts of things. Now your worries go into when the hay is otherwise in the barn. The practices are over. There's no concern about a guy getting injured. Well, now, wait a minute. Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, you're waiting for the news that the player is positive. And then there's the chance you find out after the fact that it was indeed a false positive. Well, what are they going to do? How do they determine whether it's a false positive before game time? You know, it reminds me of the concussion protocol. You never see a great player taken out of a big game in a key moment because they don't want to keep the player off the field for 10 minutes of real time while they determine he doesn't have a concussion. Well, that ship has sailed when it comes to COVID-19. If you're positive, if you're out, even if it turns out to be a false positive later, you weren't allowed to play in the game, and that is going to constantly hover, just like the possibility of false negatives. which I think is an even bigger problem. You have guys who truly have the virus. The test comes back negative. He's out there on the field at practice or at games, shedding the virus on other people, and there goes an outbreak. So this whole concept of false positives, false negatives, a big concern for the NFL. And with the number of guys who are being tested, it's going to happen.
Who will decide if you can have fans in the stands with the NFL, from the commissioner to governors to teams, state by state? How's that work?
State by state, county by county, city by city, whatever is permitted. Now, you don't even get to the point where you have a conversation about how many fans you're going to try to put in the stands if your locality won't allow it. And Dan, I think for the most part, it's going to be hard to justify anyone having fans. And if they do, what's it going to be, 20%? I think that's the capacity the New England Patriots are considering. I don't even know if it's enough people for it to be a home field advantage at that point. So we're not talking about much, but it is a team-by-team decision that is driven by what the local governments will allow. And I get the feeling if it was right now, we're not going to see many fans. The Las Vegas Raiders have already said they're not going to have any fans all year long.
But I wonder, we've seen with NASCAR where they have some social distancing there. You may not have it once you're in the, you know, the stadium, but it feels like you could have social distancing in some of these, like Texas, if you say, or Arizona, and you go, hey, we're going to put in 20,000 people in here.
And Texas and Arizona are two of the worst.
Oh, I know.
Right now, that's the thing. It's all what you will tolerate, right? There's the portion of the country that takes it very seriously. And then there's the portion that's like, what the hell? It's no big deal. It's just the flu. And I feel like of all the sports, the NFL is at the end of the spectrum that takes it very, very, very seriously. And I think that makes it harder to justify putting a bunch of people into the stands.
He's Mike Florio. He is the co-host of Pro Football Live with Chris Sims. You also have the opt-out decision that the deadline is tomorrow here. You know, we're always playing angles here. It feels like the agents are using this as leverage. Their players using this as leverage. But you start to look at some of these teams, certainly the Patriots here. Where do you stand with the opt-out of, you know, what is real and what is not real in a situation like this? And how can you even tell if you're the NFL or a team and go, are you really nervous about COVID, or do you really need to sit out this season? Because you're going to be getting paid for not doing anything.
Well, and didn't you hear that the Patriots, this is all a Bill Belichick ruse? I don't know what the end game is, Dan, but he's up to something because he's always up to something. Look, there are two types of opt-outs. There's the $150,000 stipend, no questions asked. You owe the money back next year. If you don't make the team next year, they can, in theory, chase you around and collect it. That's for the guy who just doesn't feel comfortable. Then there's the guy who falls into one of the risk categories, a proven health condition. He gets $350,000 that never gets paid back. It's not a salary advance. It's not a debt to the team. That is the benefit that the NFL has given the players if you truly have a health condition that falls into the categories that justify being concerned about getting COVID-19. It's an intensely personal decision. And yes, it can be used by some players as leverage to say, hey, if you don't give me that contract I want, I'm going to opt out. You run the risk of the team saying, go ahead and opt out. We're going to call your bluff. And then you go a full year with no compensation other than $150,000 or $350,000. And then you come back next year and your contract is still in place. All it does is press pause on your career for a full year. You still have that same contract that you don't like next year, but the threat of not being available at all for the entire season, maybe that makes a difference. Maybe that gets a deal done. But the NFL wanted that window closed. They don't like this being held over their heads. They want the guys to make a decision. And Dan, I personally wish that there would be a small window for players to revisit their decision after padded practices begin, and they can see how they feel out there among other players, and after games begin. It's one thing to feel safe in your cocoon at your practice facility, but when you're out there for 3 hours across from somebody who's breathing and sweating and spitting and coughing on you for 3 hours, you may feel differently about your decision. So I wish that they had more of the flexibility like baseball has to say, you know what, I tried it, I'm just not comfortable. Do you really want me here if I'm not comfortable? I'm out.
How is the NFL going to police these players when they leave the facility? I know they're talking about fines, I guess, and suspensions here, but do we know what that sliding scale is of what is a finable and what is a suspendable offense?
Well, you know, here's the thing. We're all walking around with these things, right? So if there's a guy who's out somewhere that he shouldn't be, all it takes is one person to record it and put it on social media, and you've got the smoking gun evidence that the guy is breaking protocol. I think the bigger problem than players doing things they shouldn't do is just the simple reality. When they go home at night, there's going to be other human beings in their apartment, in their house, that have been out and about doing things, especially if kids are in school or, you know, the spouse is out at the store. You can pick it up anywhere. And then that's a pathway for the player to get the virus, bring it to the facility. And there's that 24-hour lag between test collection and test result where you can be positive in the facility, on the practice field, in a game, passing the virus along. That's going to be the real concern. And Dan, something the Saints are doing for training camp that isn't mandatory, it's voluntary, just like voluntary workouts. Everybody's staying in a hotel. And I wonder if teams are going to set up that harder bubble into the regular season where, hey, it's not mandatory, but you know what? The coaches are doing it. The GM is doing it. The quarterback's doing it. The veteran leaders are doing it. If you, hey, it's up to you. It's purely voluntary, but everybody else is doing it. What are you going to do? That may be the best way to draw a circle around the team and avoid players doing things they shouldn't do, and also avoid players going home and catching the virus from somebody else in their family.
I know you also work for NBC, so maybe this isn't fair to ask you, but Drew Brees didn't exactly close the book on not playing next season, and I know he's got a contract or a deal in place with NBC to work on Football Night in America, Mike Florio. What do you know about Drew Brees maybe putting off his TV career?
They only wake me up for the unimportant meetings, Dan. I don't know a damn thing, and I like it that way. Right. Look, it's a given that this is it for Drew Brees. And I think whether it's Drew Brees choosing to move on or the Saints choosing to move on, I think that this is it. And Sean Payton kind of let the cat out of the bag earlier this year and then kind of had to walk it back. It's a given this is it. Next year, they're going to find out what they have in Taysom Hill or maybe Jameis Winston if he ends up playing multiple games this year and playing really well. But I think Sean Payton's ready to move on. Look, Drew Brees does not have the deep ball that he used to have. Not that he ever had a great one, but when you take that out of a guy's arsenal and he can't back a defense off by throwing the ball 40 yards down the field, it makes it very hard to play at a high level. And I think the bottom line is that this is it for Drew. And he can walk off into the sunset with a Super Bowl championship. That's the kind of team they have. But whether it's NBC, ESPN, ABC, CBS, Fox, or anyone else, I have a feeling that's where he's going to be next year.
Antonio Brown's situation, from what I'm told, is an ongoing investigation. So the best case scenario is he's down for 8 games. What else is attached to this where Antonio Brown might be down for more than 8 games?
Well, here's what I think they've done, Dan. The one thing that isn't resolved is the initial thing that got him in trouble, the civil lawsuit that was filed by a former trainer last September alleging sexual assault and rape. They've investigated it. They haven't been able to reach a conclusion. So my thought has been, well, hey, if you can't prove the guy did it, exonerate him and move on. But because the civil lawsuit is pending, they don't want to get themselves in a spot where they say he didn't do anything. And then a jury in Florida eventually says, oh, I'm sorry, he did do something. Then the NFL looks like they were negligent in their investigation. I think that's why the investigation's still open. And the smart move for Antonio Brown at this point, frankly, the smart move would have been to do this more than a year ago, settle that lawsuit, make that thing go away so it doesn't result in trial testimony, in a verdict, and just further things that would force the NFL to say, you know what, we have to suspend you for this as well.
I was critical of the Seahawks because if you're going to go all in on a safety and you're going to give up 2 first-round picks, why didn't you go all in on DeAndre Hopkins? If you said to the Texans, we're giving you 2 first-round picks and a player for DeAndre Hopkins, who helps Seattle more, DeAndre Hopkins or Jamal Adams?
Well, and you could have gotten DeAndre Hopkins for a lot less.
Yes.
Than what you gave up to get Jamal Adams. And look, did the Cardinals get a new contract with DeAndre Hopkins before the trade? Did the Seahawks get a new contract with Jamal Adams before the trade. I'm troubled by this trend now in the NFL, Dan, of going all in with multiple first-round picks for a guy who's still on his rookie contract and not getting him signed to a new deal. We saw what happened to the Texans with Laremy Tunsil. They had to give him $66 million over 3 years, $22 million a year, because he had all the leverage. Mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey has all the leverage with the Rams, and now Jamal Adams is going to have all the leverage with the Seahawks because they've given up so much to get him. You get these deals done on the way through the door, but you're right. Look, Jamal Adams is a key player in their style of defense, and I think they're trying to balance out how much they put into the offense, how much they put into the defense. But you're right. For what you give up in trade, DeAndre Hopkins, pick for pick, trade value for trade value, I think is going to bring a lot more to the Cardinals than what Jamal Adams is going to bring to the Seahawks.
They don't give Russell Wilson anything to play with there. Like, Tyler Lockett came out of nowhere from K-State, and he was more of a return guy. He's their go-to guy. You know, DK Metcalf may turn out to be a really good player. It just feels like Pete Carroll plays defense and runs the football and then says to Russell Wilson, hey, Russ, can you help us out? It's 12-9 here in the fourth quarter.
And Dan, look, this gets Seahawks fans upset anytime I say it. The Seahawks, I think, are getting closer and closer to a reckoning here. They're either going to have to get an offensive coordinator or a head coach who knows how to get the most out of Russell Wilson, or they're going to end up with a quarterback who wants to continue his career somewhere else. And I know that there are people in the league who believe that Russell Wilson will not go wire to wire year one to year whatever with the Seahawks. Now, he wants to play until he's 45. So, you know, the longer you go, the more likely you leave. But look, there's a chance this whole Jamal Adams thing is part of pushing the pendulum toward loading up the defense and, you know, maybe taking your chances on offense with a young quarterback on a rookie contract like they did when they went to back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think we're going to look back and history is going to prove that the Packers were negligent with Aaron Rodgers, with what they gave him, and the same thing with Seattle.
Russell Wilson is every bit as good as Patrick Mahomes. The thing is, Dan, when you watch Russell Wilson highlights one after another after another after another, he never has that. You know, Patrick Mahomes has that kind of hair on fire quality where it makes you sit on the edge of your seat when you see him running around behind and he does something spectacular. Russell Wilson just does the spectacular thing. There's no buildup to it. So we take it for granted. And maybe the Seahawks take it for granted. But I agree with you. We're going to look back at this era and say, how did they not get enough around this guy who's one of the all-time great quarterbacks?
Nice hair. Hey, how's it hanging there? You doing okay?
It's still mine.
Yeah.
That's all I can ask for at 55, Dan. It's still mine.
Are you doing it yourself?
What do you mean?
Are you cutting your own hair?
No. I put the hazmat suit on and go get it cut once a month.
It looks good. It looks flowing. Yes, it looks nice. It looks like, you know, when Russell Wilson had the long hair, when he went boy band look during Super Bowl week, you kind of have that. Who was the guy from Full House? John Stamos. Yeah. You got a Stamos.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I have the gel kind of. I don't know what happens to the gel. It's in and then it's out, and I don't know.
It might be the nicest compliment I've ever given you, Mike.
I appreciate it very much, Dan. It may be the only compliment you've ever given.
Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Hey, pal.
That's Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Your phone calls are next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. I only got to see the highlights because we had a power outage yesterday after the storm. My boy Shane Bieber, the Cleveland Indians pitcher, he leads the majors in strikeouts with 35. His ERA is 0.83, and one of three-game winners in the majors, Garrett Cole and Sonny Gray. Also, Dustin May, get on the bandwagon here. He's a sight because it looks like the back of his hair is giving birth to all of this red hair, and he threw a pitch, first inning, he threw a sinker 99 miles an hour. And, you know, with the injuries that they've had, he wasn't expected to be a guy who would have three starts already for the Dodgers. But he has got He's got some stuff, as the kids like to say. All right, some phone calls. Jimmy in Kentucky. Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for holding. What do you have for me today?
Dan, how you doing this morning, sir?
Good, Jimmy.
Good, good. 5'11", a fluffy 250. Always wanted to hear that. Lifelong fan, first-time caller, sir. Hey, I don't want to take too much of your time. I just really want to hear your thoughts on the feasibility of a football bubble. So, for example, could you see, like, the Power Five splitting up into five different bubbles? You know, the Big Ten takes it to Detroit or Indy, SEC in Atlanta, ACC in Orlando or Charlotte.
Okay, but this is what you have to understand, Jimmy, and thanks for the phone call. You know, the NBA, you might have a total of 30 people involved with the team. You're going to have 100 involved with the college football team, plus staff. And if I have 12 teams go into a bubble, you do the math, that's a lot of people in a bubble. And you're going to have a lot of people coming and going, daily practices there. It's not feasible. And certainly with this time frame, it's not feasible. Let's see. Thomas in Tennessee. Hi, Thomas. What do you have for me?
Oh, thank you. And a longtime fan. I was want to talk about the COVID-19 seating with the sports teams.
Yep.
You know, it's a split, you know, between revenue and safety. It's the catch, and it's hard. But if you think back the last several years with some of the NFL and MLB teams, they have already been practicing safe distancing, just looking at the people in the stands.
All righty. Thank you, Thomas.
And Mike Tyson ordered the salad.
And he had a double Caesar salad. Evan in Virginia. Hi, Evan.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Good to talk to you again. Just wanted to, you know, I was really excited with the first major of the year starting tomorrow, and wanted to see if you would take Brooks Koepka for the three-peat or the field. And I was seeing if you guys are going to do your golfer drafts. Those are always great segments.
I always take the field, Evan. I'm not sure if we'll have a draft tomorrow. I don't know if these guys have been following it during the pandemic, but I would take the field. You know, Justin Thomas, Tiger says that he's geared up for this, although I don't know how healthy he is. That now all of a sudden he's healthier, but hopefully. And you got Justin Thomas, Rory, and Tiger as your featured group teeing off tomorrow. So that'll be great. But yeah, I always take the field. Even with Tiger. But, you know, 10 years, 12, 13 years ago, you know, it was different. Because then you were saying, we'd always say that, Tiger of the field. And there were times where you go, Tiger. But so much can go wrong in a round. And there's so many quality golfers there. You know, it's not like you're just facing 10 guys. You're facing, you know, an entire field. And somebody gets hot or you have a bad round and can come back and haunt you. Yes, Todd.
I just put in my snug Buffalo Blue Jays shirt. What do you think?
It looks good.
A little snug.
I don't know if that's worthy of interrupting me. But
I apologize.
Okay. You can stand up if you want. Show off the physique there. All right. Looking good. Looking good.
A little tight on the waist.
Is that a shirt or a sausage casing?
Oh.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Did I say if this was
said
on?
Said it out loud. Yeah.
I think things. I didn't know I said
things.
Said
it. The mic was on.
Okay.
Everybody heard it.
All right. 2 hours in the books. One more to go here. Dan Patrick Show.